Welcome back. This is Sharon returning with the second half of the Pantograph for today, Wednesday, November 4th, 2020. We will begin this part of our reading with the obituaries. Beverly Rabber. Beverly Jean Rabber, 79, of Normal, passed away October 31st. Her visitation will be from 12 to 2 p.m. on Friday, November 6th at East Lawn Funeral Home, with a funeral service to follow. CDC guidelines will be followed regarding the COVID-19 pandemic, including limiting the number of people allowed in the facility at one time to 25. Memorial contributions in her name may be made to the First United Methodist Church or Home Sweet Home Ministries. Daniel Fever. Daniel D. Fever, 60, of Gridley, passed away Saturday at University of Chicago Hospital. A Masonic service will be held at 12:30 p.m. Thursday at Calvert Johnson and Froelich Memorial Home in El Paso. Visitation will be from 1 to 3 p.m. on Thursday at the Memorial Home, with COVID restrictions to be followed, and a family service at 3 p.m. Military rites will follow at Evergreen Cemetery, El Paso. Cremation rites will be accorded and a private interment will be held at a later date. Memorials in his name may be made for a scholarship to be given to an EPG student going into law enforcement. Richard Siebert. Richard L. Siebert, 63, of Hudson, passed away November 1st at OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington. His graveside service will be at 11 a.m. Thursday, November 5th at Hudson Township Cemetery, where the family will receive friends following the committal. Masks are required for attending. A mass will be held at Epiphany Catholic Church in Normal at a later date. In lieu of flowers, memorials in his name may be made to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Janice Parolek. Janice Penny Parolek, 88, of Monanque, passed away on October 26th at Heritage Health in Monanque. Cremation will be accorded. Memorials in her name may be made to the charity of the donor's choice. Edna Anderson. Edna Marie Brown Anderson, 94, of Lexington, passed away on November 2nd at Fairview Haven Nursing Home in Fairbury. A private family graveside service will be held at Lexington Cemetery. There will be no visitation. Glenn Armstrong. Glenn E. Armstrong, 76, of Normal, passed away October 17th. Memorials in his name may be made to the Central Illinois Humane Society. Bloomington's five-day forecast today will be partly sunny and breezy, pleasant in the afternoon. You can expect 4 to 8 hours of sunshine with average relative humidity at 60%. It will be breezy this evening, otherwise partly cloudy tonight. Today's high is expected to be 69 degrees and tonight's temperature 51 degrees. Thursday will be partly sunny. temperatures ranging between 67 and 45 degrees. Friday will be mild with plenty of sunshine. The temperature is expected to be 70 degrees with a low of 46. Saturday will be mostly sunny and breezy, temperatures ranging between 69 and 53 degrees. And Sunday, there will be some sun, the winds will be subsiding, and the high temperature is expected to be 73 degrees, while the low will be 56. And from Dear Abby today, Dear Abby, I am a 39-year-old woman who's been in a relationship for 5 years and married for 2. Abby, I'm consumed with regret. My husband is loyal and has a good job, but he spends most of our money on food, eating out at work, drinking expensive beer, buying tools, etc., and he's probably the most negative person I know. His negativity is so overwhelming, it has pulled me down closer to his level than where I started when we met. I feel trapped. I don't want to be single again, and I know somewhere inside I love him, so I'm working on my own energy so it won't affect me so much. He just makes everything so miserable with his attitude. He exudes bad energy. He pouts, throws temper tantrums, is rude, condescending, and everyone around him can feel his bad moods. He has only recently started therapy, and I want to be patient, but I have this loop playing in my head. I'm so resentful and remorseful for marrying him. Is there anything I can do to save my marriage? Second thoughts. Dear Second Thoughts, there is something you can do, and I sincerely hope you will take it to heart. Recognize that pouting, temper tantrums, condensation, and constant negativity is hostile and abusive. I'm glad your husband is receiving professional help to improve his behavior and attitude. Now it's time for you to do the same. If you do, it will help you to clear your head and your soul. It will also give you deeper insight into whether this is worth it. Saving your marriage has to be a joint effort. Dear Abby, I've been dealing with some emotional stress for well over a year. I recently found out that my wife's ex was much more well-endowed than I am. I understand that's not the most important thing, but it's messing with me mentally. One reason is, a long time ago, when she was drunk, she asked me why it was so small. When I came across pictures of him, it all came back. I feel like we need to talk about it, but I don't know how to start. I know she will get mad, and I don't think she would tell me the truth. A lot of things go along with these feelings, which is part of why it bothers me so much. I probably need to just let it go, but it continues to haunt me. We've been married a long time and we've had our share of problems, but how do I get past this one? Any guidance would be appreciated. Not measuring up. Dear Not Measuring Up, what exactly is the truth you're afraid your wife will conceal if you bring this out? If she thought you couldn't satisfy her needs, she wouldn't have married you. The question I'd like answered is where those old photos were when you stumbled across them. Were you going through her belongings because you feel insecure about your anatomy? This does need to be discussed when you're both sober, because if you remain silent, your insecurities will only grow worse. Please don't wait. Today's Flick Fact, one of Alaska's largest cities, Fairbanks, was named after Charles W. Fairbanks, a U.S. Senator and Vice President under Theodore Roosevelt, who also was a farmer. Do you know where Fairbanks had his farm? And the answer, Charles W. Fairbanks was a U.S. Senator from Indiana from 1897 through 1905. and he was vice president from 1905 to 1909, and he farmed 2,000 acres in Bellflower, the farming community of 350 people in southeastern McLean County. Today in history, today is Wednesday, November 4th. It's the 309th day of 2020. There are 57 days left in this year. Today's highlight, on November 4th, 2008, Democrat Barack Obama was elected the first Black president of the United States, defeating Republican John McCain. On this date in 1842, Abraham Lincoln married Mary Todd in Springfield, Illinois. In 1916, CBS newsman Walter Cronkite was born in St. Joseph, Missouri. In 1922, the entrance to King Tutankhamun's tomb was discovered in Egypt. In 1956, Soviet troops moved in to crush the Hungarian Revolution. In 1979, the Iran hostage crisis began as militants stormed the United States Embassy in Tehran, seizing its occupants. For some of them, it was the start of 444 days of captivity. In 1980, Republican Ronald Reagan won the White House as he defeated President Jimmy Carter by a strong margin. In 1985, to the shock and dismay of U.S. officials, Soviet defector Yurochenko announced that he was returning to the Soviet Union, charging that he had been kidnapped by the CIA. And in 1991, Ronald Reagan opened his presidential library in Simi Valley, California. Attending were President George H.W. Bush and former presidents Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford, and Richard Nixon, the first ever gathering of five past and present U.S. presidents. And how time flies locally from the back pages of the pantograph. 100 years ago, on November 4th, 1920, Moore election breakout, President-elect Harding carried McLean County by 11,000 votes with several political parties on the ballot. For now, both the tax and bond issues for the new sanitary district appear to have lost. A city bond issue was approved. 75 years ago, on November 4th, 1945, the USS Woodford sailed into Tokyo Bay as part of the U.S. Victory Fleet on September 8th. It's an assault cargo ship and carried combat troops who unloaded there. The Woodford was named for Woodford County, Illinois, and Kentucky. It ended its wartime career in Tokyo. 50 years ago, on November 4th, 1970, election results, Adlai Stevenson III defeated incumbent Senator Ralph T. Smith. Bloomington and Normal voters rejected unification of the two towns. John King was elected McLean County Sheriff over former Bloomington Police Chief Bernard McIlvaney. And 25 years ago today, on November 4th, 1995, Bloomington attorney Jerome Mirza is reported to be one of the highest paid lawyers in the U.S. He's a personal injury attorney with offices in Bloomington and Chicago. Forbes magazine reported him making about $4 million. And from the Tribune, pumpkin tea bread is a sign of the autumn season. Here's a quick bread that doesn't rely upon yeast to rise. In this recipe, baking powder and baking soda act as the leavening agent. There's no rising or kneading required, just a quick mix of ingredients and pop it in the oven. This particular recipe is incredibly moist with notes of holiday spices. I like to have it around on Thanksgiving weekend. It's a sign of the season. For fall baking, I use pumpkin pie spice that has nutmeg, cinnamon, ginger, and allspice blended together. A seriously simple tip. I use it in much of my fall baking when I want to include those toasty, comforting flavors. The following recipe makes one large loaf. If I have leftover bread, it keeps a few days in a plastic bag. After that, slice it up and pop it in your freezer. You never know when you'll crave a slice of this addicting spiced sweetbread. You will need 2 1/4 cups all-purpose flour, 1/4 teaspoon baking powder, 1 teaspoon baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon salt, 2 teaspoons pumpkin pie spice, 1 15-ounce can of pumpkin puree, 3/4 cup granulated sugar, 1/4 cup dark brown sugar, 3/4 cup olive oil, 2 large eggs, 1 teaspoon vanilla extract, 3/4 cup chopped toasted pecans, and for the topping, you'll need 1 1/2 tablespoons of sugar in the raw and 1 teaspoon pumpkin pie spice. Grease and flour a 9x5-inch nonstick loaf pan. Sift together the flour, baking powder, baking soda, salt, and pumpkin pie spice into a bowl. Combine the pumpkin puree with the sugar, oil, eggs, and vanilla extract in your food processor and process for about 2 minutes or until light and airy. Gradually add in the flour mixture and continue processing until well incorporated. Add the pecans and pulse a few times until incorporated, making sure not to puree the pecans. Transfer the mixture to a prepared pan. Use a rubber spatula to smooth the top. Combine the topping ingredients and mix them together until well blended. Then sprinkle the topping evenly on top of the pumpkin batter. Bake in a 350-degree oven for 55 minutes to 1 hour, or until a toothpick inserted into the center of the loaf comes out clean. Cool on a wire rack for about 1 hour. Use a knife and spatula to ease the loaf out of the pan, and then place it onto a platter, slice, and serve. Here are a few recipe notes. Pumpkin puree and olive oil give this tea bread a moist, inviting texture. Toasting the pecans add a depth of flavor. To toast pecans, place the pecans in a nonstick skillet on medium heat and toast for 4 to 5 minutes or until lightly browned and aromatic. The topping adds an additional texture and flavor to the loaf. The coarse sugar and pumpkin pie spice topping offer a crispy sweetness to the bread. You can make this bread a day ahead, and it will still be moist and flavorful, while the topping might not be quite as crisp. From Variety, pop to the top. Elevate your movie nights with the best popcorn makers. Going to the movie theater is still a little iffy these days, so one of the best ways to get the experience at home is with some serious popcorn. We're talking beyond the pre-packaged microwave popcorn, of course, plus those tend to be packed with salt, additives, fat, and other not-so-great ingredients. Not only does homemade popcorn taste better, it's also much healthier. Plus, the best popcorn makers often don't require much more time or effort than the microwave. When you pop your own, you can add seasonings and toppings to customize it, and it tastes better than what comes in the prepackaged versions. Another bonus is that over time, making your own popcorn will save you money. There are three main types of popcorn makers, and the difference is how they heat the kernels, whether they require oil to cook them, and how much popcorn they can make. An air popper is the healthiest option since it doesn't require oil or butter. They're small appliances that work by circulating hot air onto the kernels, which come out through a spigot. Though they tend to be pricier, they're simple to use and clean. The second type is a microwave popcorn maker, which are glass, plastic, or silicone bowls with a vented lid and are simply put in the microwave. Depending on the model, they may need a little oil or none at all. Their perk is they're super easy to use, fast, and dishwasher safe. Finally, the third option is a stovetop popcorn maker, which looks like a regular pot, but the lid has a special stirring mechanism to keep the kernels moving to prevent them from sticking to the bottom and burning. They heat up quickly, use a little bit of oil, and deliver great flavor. They're typically easy to clean and last a while. No matter which type you choose, get ready for some serious popcorn. Here are the best popcorn makers, so prepare your salt and topping. The original Popco silicone microwave popcorn popper doesn't get any easier to use. All you have to do is add kernels, toss in some oil, salt, or flavorings, and put it in the microwave. The Great Northern Popcorn Original Spinner Stovetop is one of the best stovetop popcorn makers out there, and thanks to its clever spinning stirring mechanism, prevents burning. The Dash Hot Air Popcorn Popper. The only thing needed is to make 16 cups of fresh popcorn is air and kernels, making this very healthy and easy. The Echolution Original Microwave Micro Pop Popcorn Popper. You just use the silicone lid to measure the popcorn kernels, pour them in, put it in the microwave for 3 minutes, and you'll have a bowl full of popcorn to enjoy. The Nostalgia Vintage Professional Popcorn Cart is the ultimate statement piece. It wins Best Popcorn Maker for Nostalgia. The stainless steel kettle has a built-in kernel stirring system and makes 32 cups of popcorn, enough to feed your own mini movie theater. And the West Bend Stir Crazy Electric Hot Oil Popcorn Popping Machine. The vented lid turns into a bowl, so it doesn't get more convenient. This popper makes up to 6 quarts of popcorn. The Original Salbree Microwave Popcorn Popper. If you're tight on cabinet space, this is the best popcorn maker for you since the collapsible design allows it to fit into small drawer. The Presto Poplight Hot Air Popper brightens up your kitchen with a burst of yellow. This Presto Hot Air Popper can easily pop 18 cups of popcorn in under 2 minutes. The West Bend Hot Theater Style Popcorn Popper. In addition to making yummy popcorn, this popper looks charming on your countertop. And then there's the Corsi Original Microwavable Silicone Popcorn Popper. This is the best popcorn maker if you're on a budget. It sells for $8.99. This popper proves you can make great popcorn. The simple microwave silicone popcorn popper cooks healthy popcorn in minutes. Whichever type of popcorn popper you choose, enjoy movie night. Illinois reports 68 more COVID deaths. The Illinois Department of Public Health announced another 68 COVID-19 related deaths on Tuesday, the highest one-day total since June 17th, as hospitalizations once again pushed second-wave highs. The state also reported 6,516 new cases of COVID-19 among 82,435 test results reported, making for a one-day positivity rate of 7.9%, which drove the seven-day rolling average case positivity rate to 8.2%. As of Monday evening, Illinois hospitals reported 3,594 beds were in use by COVID-19 patients statewide, an increase of 223 from the day before, and the highest amount in use since May 28th. Of those patients, 755 were intensive care beds, which was an increase of 33 from the day prior, the highest day since June 5th. There were 326 ventilators in use by COVID-19 patients, an increase of 28 from the day prior, and the highest one-day total since June 16th. Thus far, the COVID-19 death toll stands at 9,878, with 430,018 confirmed cases among more than 7.9 million test results reported since the pandemic began. For all regions of the state's COVID-19 mitigation plan, positivity rates continue to trend upward. Region 1, which includes Northwest Illinois from Winnebago County to the state's western border, had a positivity rate of 15.3%, the highest of all state regions. Expanded election coverage for continuous coverage of national and local races, including some photo galleries, you can visit pantograph.com. And I'll leave you with the general horoscope for Wednesday, November 4th, 2020. Stick to the script this year. If you deviate from your plan, you will find it challenging to get back on track. Set reasonable goals and don't waste time on trivial matters. Be honest with yourself and with your loved ones. Progress will be yours. This has been Sharon bringing you the Pantograph for Wednesday, November 4th, 2020. I look forward to sharing the paper with you again next week. And until then, take care and be well.